Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Anything that you want. And the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, Rush Limbaugh talking about secession. We've got also an update on the Pfizer vaccine. That's all on the way tonight with you in the studio. It's Ian.
Andy.
And Mark.
But first, we've been talking about what happened to you, Mark, at the Border Patrol checkpoint coming back in into Newark International Airport. Was this, what, Tuesday? Monday?
Yeah, this week.
Yeah, so you came back in from a long journey over to... You did admit it was Africa. I had not said that, but you said that earlier.
Right. I don't know exactly what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say.
Africa's a big place.
It is a big place.
That does not narrow it down. But they didn't like that you were coming back in from Africa, at least so they claimed to you. So that was the reason why they were subjecting you to a search of your electronic devices. Now, this is what has been described as a manual search, not a forensic-level search. And according to the American Bar Association, the story that the ACLU was publicizing last year in November about a judge ruling in summary judgment that a government must have a reasonable suspicion of digital contraband before searching electronic devices at the border only applies to the non-manual searches, forensics level searches.
That means them taking your device, whatever it is, plugging it into their black box,
and
wiping it out, likely installing all kinds of malware.
No, they wouldn't wipe it out. They would copy all of the data from it.
Okay, copying all the data and then doing whatever else it does. I mean, how many people have we talked to who have had their devices, confiscated by the government that have gotten them back and they were never the same?
Oh yeah. If you do get a device back from the government
plugs your device into one of their devices, that device is screwed.
At the bare minimum, you're going to want to reset that device. You know, if you've got a laptop hard drive, you're going to want to format it. You're going to want to, if you got a phone, you're going to want to reset that thing just in case they put something nasty on there. If not, get rid of the entire thing and replace it. But going on here with the American Bar Association and their update that they wrote of in March of this year. This is the most recent update I could find on this case, which is specifically in regards to a case filed by the ACLU and the Electronic Frontier Foundation about a multiple plaintiffs. I think it was 11 different plaintiffs suing in the Al-Saad versus you-fill-in-the-blank case. They keep changing the name because the bureaucrats that are representing...
Oh, the Al-Saad case.
Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security keep changing. So they talk about this so-called balancing of your rights with the government's need for security. And so they say here that the privacy of the border presents more difficult questions. They say the border is not a constitution-free zone. However, there's a well-settled bunch of exceptions to border searches, meaning that what would normally be completely inappropriate to happen legally inside the United States as far as a search goes is more tolerated at the border. And there's been a ton of cases about this. So unfortunately, you don't have the same level of rights there. Now, they say that on the privacy side of the balance, the Al-Saad court explained that electronic devices implicate privacy interests in a fundamentally different manner than searches of typical containers or even searches of a person. So, you know, there's a difference between going into your lunchbox and looking around as opposed to going into your cell phone and getting access to your entire life, right? All your emails that happen to be in your email account, all your photographs that happen to go back for however many years they go back. So the decision from U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper quotes the Riley decision in saying that, quote, the sum of an individual's private life can be reconstructed through 1,000 photographs labeled with dates, locations, and descriptions. A person's internet browsing history, historic location information, and mobile application software or apps can form a revealing montage of the user's life. And a cell phone search would typically expose the government to far more than the most exhaustive search of an entire home. So these were the judge's reasons for ruling against the forensic searches being just allowed across the board to, you know, anybody they want to search. Warrantless searches of a particular category of effects, such as cell phones, must be sufficiently, quote, tethered, unquote, to the government's interest, according to the Assad court. At the border, the government's interest in conducting warrantless searches are to collect duties and to prevent the entry of contraband and other harmful items. The key inquiry became whether warrantless searches of electronic devices sufficiently advance those interests. Agreeing with the plaintiffs that there is an important difference between border officers conducting warrantless searches for, quote, contraband, where the tethering is stronger, as opposed to conducting warrantless searches for, quote, evidence of contraband or other unlawful activity where tethering is weaker, the court found unpersuasive the government's claim that child pornography is a form of digital contraband that justifies warrantless searches of electronic devices.
So meaning that anybody who's crossing a border might have child porn, so we need to look at everybody's kind of stuff?
Well, the court said that is unpersuasive, that the potential that someone may have some child pornography
is... Everybody's got some potential to have something bad on their computer, and child pornography is the thing they love to trot out because everybody thinks it's it's bad. I mean, nobody likes the idea of children being sexually abused, and they like even less the idea that somebody might find some prurient interest in that. No doubt, I'm on that team too. However, I am not willing to compromise everybody's digital freedom based on the fact that there are a few perverts running around.
So the court then emphasized that border searches of electronic devices burden travelers' First Amendment rights to free speech and association by exposing membership in organizations, unmasking anonymous speech, and intruding on freedom of the press. In light of these substantial First Amendment interests, the court held the government must prove a, quote, substantial relation between the government interest and the information required to be disclosed, unquote. Now, the court thus denied the motion to dismiss, but left open the issue of the appropriate level of individualized suspicion that a border officer must have before searching an electronic device. Reasonable suspicion or warrant based on probable cause, resolution of this question had to await summary judgment. So finally, in her November of 2019 summary judgment opinion, the judge held that border agents must have a reasonable suspicion that a device contains digital contraband before searching or seizing the device. The traditional border search exception to the warrant requirement applies only to routine searches, but searches of personal electronic devices are non-routine given the magnitude of the privacy and First Amendment interest at stake. The reasonable suspicion standard is a common sense approach, the court held, and is met when border agents can point to specific articulable facts more than just a hunch, and the inferences reasonably to be drawn therefrom suggesting the device contains contraband.
Sounds pretty clear to me. They're not allowed to search your electronic devices when you go through there.
But yet they're saying this only applies to the forensics level search.
Not the manual search.
So the manual search. So what's
that's
not...
them gathering evidence for the forensic search.
Yeah. As to the relief, the court entered a declaratory judgment that CPB and ICE policies violate the Fourth Amendment to the extent that they don't require reasonable suspicion that the devices contain contraband and that non-cursory searches and or seizures of electronic devices without such reasonable suspicion violate the Fourth Amendment. The court declined, however, to enter any nationwide injunctive relief. With only one thus far decision at the trial court level on forensic border searches, where does that leave traveling with electronic devices containing confidential client information? So here's where they get into the advice for the lawyers.
Right. That's a really great question. So a lawyer crosses an international border. A Customs and Border Patrol agent says, I must go through your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that lawyer has... And one would presume, in all likelihood, there's reasonable, articulable suspicion that that lawyer has confidential information that a law enforcement officer may not just go and look at. So what happens then? Are lawyers
are
and only lawyers exempt now from Customs and Border Patrol searches? Because then everybody's a lawyer.
Well, everybody's not a lawyer. Because you have to be a member of the Bar Association in order to be a lawyer, which is a very exclusive club.
Well, you may have legal documents on your phone, and it's reasonable to presume that you have access to your own legal documents on the phone, and the police officer may not go through those.
Indeed, but they won't know necessarily, right?
I mean, well, that's why they shouldn't be going through your phone. I'd like to advise you right now, Customs and Border Patrol agent, that there are legal documents on that phone. You going through there may very well violate federal law. Not only will you be held accountable through your department, but you'll be held accountable individually, and this may infect your pension. Sir?
So, they have some suggestions, and we'll see if those are worth sharing. Also, you can share your thoughts with us. If you want to weigh in on this discussion, you can join us. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Maxwell, she's just scratching and losing some hair. My vet, she says, oh, he must be allergic to chicken. Another vet says, he's the drain. Third vet says, it's the weather. Then somebody said,
VINOVITE.com.
It took 2 weeks, and the dog stopped itching. The hair stopped falling out. The Dynavite is a big part of Maxwell's diet.
He gets Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
VINOVITE.com.
Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Dixie and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DINOVITE.com.
I just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I had seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cat to Dynavite, I took the advice from Dynavite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live, and and you can bring up what you want. On the way here tonight, we still have to talk about the vaccine situation. Andy's wanting to cover what the latest is on the Pfizer tests that have been going on. Plus, Rush Limbaugh has been talking about secession in a positive way and is getting some pretty major press for that. So maybe it's finally time for this to become a mainstream issue. We can talk about all those things, but we're still talking about the legal situation, and none of us are attorneys in this room, but I'm reading a piece by the American Bar Association, which is, of course, the major organization of attorneys in the United States, and this is the advice they're giving to their own people. This is advice for attorneys written by attorneys in this particular case, and you may be able to glean something useful for it for this whole situation of whether or not you can cross a border without being molested in your electronic devices by the government bureaucrats in the Customs and Border Patrol Division, which happened to you earlier this week, Mark, where they pawed through your cell phone as you were trying to get to your next flight. You had to spend over an hour, or roughly an hour, detained by men with guns.
Yeah, there weren't bars, but, you know, like, I wasn't free to leave.
There is a room back there, by the way, in case they need to put you behind bars. They do have one.
I'm sure they do.
But
they looked like they did.
Yeah.
This looked very much like a 1970s police precinct.
Yeah, it looked like a booking room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and by the way, I feel terrible for the people that have to work there.
Oh. Well.
I mean, what a miserable place to go to work every day.
Yeah. It was really bad.
And allow me to wax American for here for just a moment. Does it seem strange to you that the Customs and Border Patrol agents, the American Customs and Border Patrol agents, were speaking Spanish behind the desk? Like, I don't know. I mean, I get that there's no national language. I got it. It seems strange that American law enforcement officers in what is largely considered to be an English-speaking country, it's not so, but it's certainly, you know, the predominantly spoken language in this country, were speaking Spanish behind the counter.
They were speaking New Yorker where I was, and that wasn't any better.
I'm just saying.
I'd prefer the Spanish.
No, it was New York Spanish.
But yeah, they looked like a miserable bunch of you know, fat, unhealthy bureaucrats just trundling through their existence in this terrible, institutional, horribly uncomfortable and ugly place with the, you know, green lighting and the ugly metal, you know, everywhere. Just a place you do not want to spend any time. So the question is, what do you do? Because they're now saying, as of a court decision, which was at I believe a district court level in November of 2019, in a summary judgment opinion, the judge ruled that border agents have to have reasonable suspicion that a device contains digital contraband before searching or seizing the device. But they're also saying that this only applies to forensics level searches, not the manual search, which is just the bureaucrat flipping through your phone and looking around. So what do you do as a lawyer or anyone who has, you know, information that you don't want the government to get a hold of? Specifically, they're referring to CCI, which stands for confidential client information, which for lawyers is basically any conversation they have with their clients, or any paperwork between them and their clients. So what do you do? Well, they say, number one, if you can, leave the device containing CCI at home. Two, consider having a portable device designed for international travel that does not contain CCI. So similar to what I suggested earlier, having a separate device that's just the bare-bones laptop with nothing on it.
I question whether they're going to like that very much.
Too bad.
So when the government agents, if they get upset, things get a little hairier, right? You know, if they decide that they're going to keep the device, they can.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's a risk you're taking going through that.
That they want to keep you for a period of time of indefinite detention, they can. And nobody's looking for that, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really important aspect of this, is you don't want to seem callous to how people's lives go. Otherwise, they're not going to take your advice. People don't care about what you know.
Well,
they want to know that
if you
care.
Take the advice. So you have to make the decision on what is important to you.
Yes.
If you feel like you're somehow better off by having a bunch of things for a government bureaucrat to look through, then by all means, let them look through your crap. If you think that's going to help you for
some reason. That's why I think there should be some kind of app that looks like an overlay to a phone.
But didn't you just say you were worried that they'd be mad if they didn't, you know, if there was nothing there?
The app needs to be look, you know, they need to meet a bunch of pictures of puppies and roses and, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things for them to look at. It needs to look like a phone as opposed to, because I can tell you, I don't have a problem if I walk into Customs and Border Patrol and I've just reset my phone telling mm-hmm. them, I just reset it while I was on the plane because I thought there was a good chance that we'd be together, and I don't want you to have it. Right? Like, I don't have a problem with screwing with them. I do this for a living. Uh-huh. However, I understand how people feel when they're like, well, I've got 45 minutes, you stinking, officious bureaucrat, to get to my next plane. Could we move this along?
The more crap you've got on there, the longer the search is going to take.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Because it'll take them longer to go through the stuff.
Buddy, I have 7 years worth of stuff on my mm-hmm. phone. And they went, you know, it took him 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He spent 3 minutes on my phone.
It's a cursory search.
3 minutes too many.
Yeah.
But that's what he did.
Well, that was a cursory search.
Sure, it was.
In that particular case.
No reasonable suspicion, of course.
No.
No, I'm just saying, Ian, I mean, you know, that I don't know that what you're saying there is true.
Yeah, I don't think that you should adjust your behavior by, like, giving the government more of your stuff to go through. I see what you're saying, put a bunch of fake stuff on there, but I don't think that really what you're talking about is going to matter. If they want to mess with you, they're going to mess with you. And if they want to detain you for longer, they're going to detain you for longer.
If they want to mess with you, they will mess with you. But you don't want them to want to mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be as innocuous as possible.
You're already in it, dude, if you're in secondary at that point.
I was in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I didn't spend an hour there.
Good for you.
And that includes sitting there, meditating, because I couldn't look at my phone, staring, you know, with my eyes shut ahead of time. And waiting for them to slaughter my last name.
Yeah. I don't think there's... I mean, if you want to call in with your experience, I don't think that having a clean laptop is going to result in you being more molested by these people. There's nothing for them to do.
When you went through, you had a sanitized laptop and a sanitized phone?
I did, yeah.
What were the results?
I got my stuff back.
Just nothing? They didn't say anything about it?
You said 3-4 hours, right?
Yeah, it took a while, but that, you know, wasn't because they said anything to me or indicated that there was... They were looking for me specifically. Like, I overheard a conversation or at least snippets of a conversation.
I traveled with you multiple times where it's clear they were looking for you.
Yeah, so they gave me more of a scrutiny than they did to you, and than they probably do to most people that they're doing these secondary searches to.
Yeah.
But I got my stuff back. And in the case of the laptop, when they took that away, I didn't put the password into it, so they weren't able to actually search the laptop in that particular case. And I had a Linux laptop with an encrypted hard drive on it, so even if they duped the hard drive, there
just got a bunch of letters.
There wasn't anything on it anyway, but they would have gotten just an encrypted hard drive, and so they wouldn't have been able to get into it.
Gobbledygook.
So yeah, it's definitely best to have an encrypted hard drive and things like that. If for instance, you want to, like, if you understand that you could lose the device, and there's nothing that is important on there, then you can just refuse to put the password in and let them take it. And then let them spend however many, you know, hundreds of hours trying to crack into a hard drive that doesn't ultimately have anything on it. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website, all put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com. Divi's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divi's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DiviProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DiviProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DiviProject.org. DiviProject.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
An FDA panel is giving the green light to the first coronavirus vaccine and approving it for emergency use. Pfizer's vaccine was over 95% effective in trials. The FDA could give the final approval for emergency use in the next couple of days, and the first shots could be given next week. The Pfizer vaccine must be stored in ultra-cold temperatures. The investigation into Hunter Biden began in 2018. They're not only digging into his taxes, but he's also the target of a grand jury investigation. President-elect Joe Biden is not part of the investigation, but a Republican member of the Homeland Security Committee noted Hunter traveled overseas when his father was vice president.
What did Joe Biden know, and when did he know it? He needs to answer questions.
Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley, USA Radio News. Drug maker Pfizer is warning Britain's National Health Service not to give the company's coronavirus vaccine to people with significant history of allergic reactions. As far as what this means for folks with allergies and the coronavirus vaccine, Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel tells Fox and Friends,
I think what's important here is that the two people who had allergies in the UK were already carrying an EpiPen, meaning that they had had severe allergies in the past. So the warning here is for people that have had severe allergies in the past where they had to be rushed to the hospital or they had swelling or decreased blood pressure and high and big rashes. That's the group that we would hesitate to give this to right away. But it's not for the general population. We haven't seen a lot of allergies in all the people that were studied.
President Trump making the announcement that Morocco and Israel will have diplomatic relations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Live, talking about what happens at these Border Patrol checkpoints. The toll-free number, if you want to join us, it's 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio, you've got Ian.
Andy.
And Mark.
Going through some of the attorney's recommendations from the American Bar Association, given the rulings that have come out in the Electronic Frontier Foundation / ACLU case that has been brought against the Border Patrol, against the Department of Homeland Security, where a judge did rule in favor of the average person, saying that the government gang does need to have reasonable suspicion that devices contain contraband in order to go with a forensics-level search of that device at the border. Again, we're just talking about that international coming back into the United States, that situation, not stuff happening within the U.S. So then they ask, you know, they give some advice here for the attorneys, presumably, who are reading it, as to what do you do if you've got what they call confidential client information, or CCI, on a device. Well, number one, they say, just leave the device at home. And again, this advice applies to anybody that's got things you don't want the government to find.
Right. But these are lawyers telling lawyers, leave your device at home. Right. I mean, what a lame way to address this.
Well, that's just, that's number one. If you want to be the ultimate, that's what I said at first, too. When
lawyers
I was giving
telling
you,
lawyers that, too.
Yeah, when I was giving you suggestions, I said, if you don't have to bring it, then don't bring it. That's the easiest way to deal with
just,
this.
Well, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. The government is so difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. The people that sue people
are too afraid.
Don't want to have to sue the government. I mean, honestly, this is how we get a better government, is when lawyers are able to get some kind of remediation.
Well, in theory. I mean, where's the better government?
No government is good government.
Right. That's because the lawyers run the government, too. We have a lawyer industrial complex running the government.
So they say you could also have a separate device. And, you know, obviously with a phone, you can move your SIM card from one phone to another, so you can still keep the same number but have a separate device for traveling if you wanted to. Or, like Mark was saying earlier, you could just hit the reset button and keep your CCI or whatever information off of that phone entirely. They say if a separate device is not possible and you bring with you one or more devices containing CCI, try to scrub them of the CCI by using software professionally designed by IT experts for that purpose and not merely pressing the delete button. So, again, as I suggested earlier, they could probably undelete stuff, so that's not likely going to help you. They actually say here, or better yet, have a teenager do it. That is not good advice, by the way.
No,
because
it's not.
Because there are a lot of...
It's funny, but it's not good advice.
It's funny because, you know, teenagers and young people spend a lot of time on their phones, but that doesn't mean that they know anything about them.
Right.
It may mean that they know how to get into their settings and change a few things here and there, but they may not
understand Snapchat filters.
Yeah, they may not understand about how these devices actually work or, you know, some of the more technical
aspects. And the worst part of this is that teenagers believe that they know more about devices than...
Not all of them.
A lot of them do. I mean, a lot of them believe what they're told when it comes to, I'm sure you know. You know, like, I didn't know how to change the VCR clock from flashing any more than anybody else did when I was a kid. And in all likelihood, I'm not saying you're a teenager. You're a teenager, maybe a little genius. But a lot of teenagers really don't know anything about, electronics.
I wanted to correct you. You said teenagers just believe what they're told, right?
Some teenagers...
I'm looking around at a lot of people right now in this world, this COVID world, that are just believing what they're told.
Plenty of old people and middle-aged people.
It runs the game.
Right, and that's my evidence that teenagers do what they're told, or believe what they're told, is that everybody believes what they're told.
Yep. So they do say here that you could obviously connect to a cloud storage to where you can keep your secretive documents, and then they wouldn't be on the device. But they say beware, moving data to the cloud is not a panacea. Border agents or other government officials may try to search your cloud data without your knowledge by dealing directly with the service provider, meaning they go to Google and say, we think that this person has this information. They either have a warrant or they just ask, and maybe they'll let them in. But if it's a cloud that is not encrypted, you know, if you're putting files that are in the clear on that cloud, then, well, you're at risk, period.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well.
Yes, you are.
Encryption of the confidential information is not sufficient to comply with your ethical obligations. Border agents may demand that you provide password or other decrypting information, and failure to do so can lead to unpleasantness for you, and at a minimum, your device being seized and detained for a period of time. So here's one other suggestion that I have for you that I forgot to mention earlier. So let's say that you can't do what we talked about, where you've got like a dummy device, you know, or like a bare bones device with just, you know, a web browser. You absolutely have to have the files with you, okay, for whatever reason. Or you can't do the flash drive idea that Mark suggested earlier. You have to have them with you at all times for whatever reason. Well, what you can do is you can make sure you back up those files before you get on that final flight. So you can do a backup before you leave. Okay, so you got time before you leave, right? So take all the important files from that hard drive that's on that laptop or that phone, copy them to something that's going to stay in the United States, stay in your office or stay in your home, on a separate hard drive or backup flash drive or whatever. Leave that there. And then as you're on your trip, if you're making new files, you don't store those on the hard drive on the laptop. If you make a brand new file that you need to save, save that encrypted on some sort of an encrypted drive, encrypted email, or wherever it is you can save things safely on the cloud. And then that way, if you get into a situation where Customs and Border Patrol is saying they want to have access to your device, but you've still got all your files on there, right? Because, again, I'm talking about the situation where you have everything with you.
Yep.
If you are on a Linux-based system on a computer and you have installed that Linux with encryption, because when you install most Linux distributions, they give you the option to encrypt the entire hard drive.
Right.
Meaning that when that laptop is powered on, you have to put in a decryption password into the drive. So as long as it's a secure password, a good password, that thing is locked down.
Right.
And so if you go through the Border Patrol checkpoint and they let you through, good, you're good, you get through, you no problem. You know, they don't do the secondary search. If they secondary search you and they say, Mr. Edge, we're going to need you to put your password here into this laptop so we can look around, and you say, I don't know the password, or you just refuse, right? Whatever you're going to do, I'm not going to put the password.
I have memory issues.
Yeah, I'm not going to put the password
in. I do not recall.
Right, I don't recall the password. Yeah, it's a good one. I don't recall.
It worked for Reagan a lot.
So if you do that, then they may take the laptop at that point, but they're just taking a laptop with an encrypted hard drive on it, and if your password is sufficiently, you know, difficult, it would be probably pretty impossible for them to crack that. If your password is easy to brute force, on the other hand, then they would have access to all your files. So this is like the most risky thing to do, is to actually let these people keep the device, which is why having, you know, a sanitized device that they can go into is the best option.
Right. So many cases, what looks like a good password these days, they want you to use like characters and caps and letters and numbers. These, as I understand it, are not necessarily good passwords. In fact, that a better password is some longer phrase. Mm. You know, a phrase that, any phrase is basically going to be 20 or 30 or 40 characters long. Now, every one of us has a phrase that we have memorized, and as you get better at typing that phrase out, you can bang that thing out pretty quickly. So a phrase to get into the laptop will make it so that their black box crackers have a very, very, very tough time getting in, as opposed to an eight-digit password with letters, numbers, and characters and all that stuff. That they're going to go through that faster.
And they actually do recommend here in their additional helpful pointers that you should back up the data before you leave. That way, if you do have to, you know, if you do decide to wipe the hard drive while you're at your destination before you leave, no big deal. You've got all the files when you get home. And then you just don't have your laptop for that final flight. No big deal, right? And so they say here, if you are not a U.S. citizen, like many of the wonderful foreign lawyer members they have, be aware that refusing to comply with the border agent's demand you unlock your device, provide your device password, or disclose your social media information may raise special concerns. If you are a foreign visitor, you may be more easily denied entry into the country. If you're not from the United States, they can screw you even harder, basically, including just refuse you entry.
Right. They can't send me home away from the United States.
Right. They ultimately will have to let you in if you're from the United States, but they may take your devices if you don't let them into them. More coming up.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death.
At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Yeah! Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free here. Now, we don't give legal advice here on Free Talk Live because we're not attorneys. But attorneys do give legal advice.
But we've been sued more than once.
And we're reading what the attorneys wrote, in this case, from the American Bar Association about, you know, some ideas of how to handle these Border Patrol checkpoints, specifically the secondary searches where they go through phones and laptops. Or
that's
they,
because they did this to me this week.
That's right. For the first time to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they've done it to you in the past.
They have done it to me once in the past.
And mine, you were highly likely mm-hmm. to have been targeted, whereas I am unlikely to have been targeted. I just got secondary because I traveled through Africa.
And I just get molested when I go through because I won't go through the X-ray machine.
Well, we all do that, I think. Or at least you don't generally opt out, do you, Mark?
I generally do not because I figure they're going to do whatever they want to do anyway, so I'm just going to go through their process.
I'd rather have the pat down than go through an X-ray or whatever the hell that thing is, the microwave transmitter.
Millimeter wave.
I don't know what that thing does. The only time I've only ever been through that one time in the last however long they've had it, however many years, and the only time I did that was I was with Renee. We were coming back from the Anarchapulco, one of the previous ones.
Houston.
I don't know where it was, but we were coming back from Anarchapulco, and they took us aside for not like a real secondary like you experienced, Mark, where there was a detention, mm-hmm. but just a we're going to look through your stuff line instead of like the normal line where you just kind of get scanned in or whatever, and then they ask you questions. Here they actually paw through your bag a little bit more detailed, so mm-hmm. that's where we were. But we were there long enough to where we had only had a very short connecting flight time, and so in that one particular case, because we had no time to get to the flight, I decided to not opt out on that one. But every other time, I've always opted out.
I forgive you.
Yeah, thank you.
I forgive you, my son.
Yeah. So here's some more advice from the American Bar Association as far as what do you need to know when you're at these international returning into the United States Border Patrol checkpoints as somebody who is a purported U.S. citizen. Because, again, if you're not from the United States, if you don't do what they say, they're probably just not going to let you in.
Right.
So you've got more abilities to stand up for yourself as a U.S. person or whatever.
Right. Basically, you've got to lick the boot if you're going through and you're not a U.S. citizen. And that's how it is for me when I'm going
anywhere else.
The rest of their stuff.
Yeah.
But I had to go through Customs and Border Patrol in Belgium, in Lisbon, Brussels.
You mean those countries' version of them, or the U.S.?
Right, right. Okay. Not the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, but their version of whatever that is. And, you know, pardon me, I don't speak those languages. But I had to go through in Brussels, in Lisbon, in Ghana, in you know, other places that I'm not allowed to mention contractually. And what I'll say is though Ghana sucked, it sucked because I didn't have $50 in my pocket. It's just a shakedown operation there. Be advised, ladies and gentlemen, have cash.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a good idea to travel with a whole bunch of cash, so I didn't.
Yeah.
But I regretted
that. Some would have been better than a whole bunch.
I had, I brought a few $100s, and I should have brought
a thousand,
maybe 1,500 would have been better for my purposes. Anyway, but in Europe, it was, I mean, even though United States citizens are not allowed to travel to Europe right now, they let me in both times with nothing to say. Well, I guess they did say something in Brussels. They said, we're not supposed to let you in, but if you go directly to the hotel and go to sleep, it'll be fine. That way I'm not sleeping in an airport, you know, and they knew that I would have to sleep in the airport otherwise. But I couldn't have gone anywhere anyway. The whole city was locked down.
So they didn't make you quarantine when you went over there?
I mean, I essentially did quarantine. There was
nothing to do.
Yeah, there was no health club even in the... I mean, I couldn't even go to the gym
hotel?
In the hotel. It was shut down because of COVID.
So they had a gym, just locked it down.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know,
But they care about us. They care about us, but they're shutting down gyms and grocery stores. And
the best meal of the whole trip was in this hotel room, mind you. It was delicious. Wow. And a bottle of wine, so whatever. It wasn't so bad. I just went
But you couldn't even go to the hotel restaurant. You had to get room service?
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct.
Wow. So they say, be wary of implicit consent. Again, this is the American Bar Association.
Yes.
If the border agent is vague about whether he or she is asking or ordering you to unlock your device, provide a password, or furnish social media identifiers, politely establish whether it is a request or a command. If the former, meaning if it's a request, you have the ability to courteously but firmly withhold your consent. If the latter, if it is a command that you provide these passwords and such, inform the agent that you are complying under protest and that you do not consent. This is even more effective if you have someone with you who can be a witness. If you fail to protest, then in the event you subsequently seek to mount a legal challenge to the search, the government may claim that you consented. Under no circumstances.
Right. And this is when they say to courteously, this is the opportunity, because we all are playing this game when we're dealing with law enforcement, no matter how you're dealing with them. It's like, how much do I have to put up with, and how nice do I have to be, right? I want to get on with my day, and this guy wants to waste my time. So what I think the best thing to say in a circumstance like this, you know, having just gone through it, might have been to, you know, politely look at the guy, the officer in this circumstance, and say, look, I understand you've got to do what you've got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand that I'm a patriot, and I take the Bill of Rights very seriously. And I'm trying to protect your freedom, the freedom of your family, and all of your fellow American citizens when I say, I don't consent to any sort of search. And I want you to understand that's a baseline. You do what you have to do in order to get me out of here, but I don't consent to anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking yourself, I wonder if I can do this that isn't something that you're mandated, allowed to do, then I don't consent to it, officer. Are we clear? Now let's go on. Thanks. And that's polite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It says
but
to him,
firm.
It says to him, I love him as an American, which is something that clearly a guy with a flag on his freaking arm cares about, right? I love his family. And that he is working for a tyrannical organization that drops $1 million bombs on $10 tents, and he's acting like I'm the criminal.
They say here, do not succumb to the blandishments of techies or others who recommend concealing data on your devices with hidden volume features or other techniques designed to vary the data that will appear depending on the password that's used. Border agents may characterize this as making a false or fraudulent statement to them or obstructing their investigations or the proper administration of their duties, either of which is a serious federal criminal offense. So, now that's an interesting one because it does get a little more technical. There are, for instance, like, there's a program online. It used to be called TrueCrypt. then the TrueCrypt guys got compromised somehow, and they released a really suspicious statement that made it obvious that they'd been compromised by the government in some way. And
Canary.
Canary. And they shut down, and then the code for TrueCrypt got rolled into a program called VeraCrypt.
Yeah, VeraCrypt.
So that's the sort of the subsequent one that has come out. And anyway, these things allow you to create hidden volumes, which means that you have... if they find this encrypted file or this encrypted hard drive, and they say put in your password, well,
yeah,
you have two passwords. One gets into the sort of outer volume, the
yes,
one that is full of the fake photo, puppy photos or whatever that you were talking about, Mark.
Right.
And then the hidden volume is the one that they don't necessarily know exists. It's encrypted within this encrypted file, and the only way you get access to it is by putting a special password. So it's same password prompt, but you can put in two passwords. You put in the password for the Border Patrol, then they can see what they see. Or you put in the real password that gets you into all of your files. It's an interesting, it's an interesting setup. It's also interesting that they're recommending against that here. But again, that would require, for them to say that you were obstructing their investigation would require them to have the knowledge that such a hidden volume existed, and
right,
that might be difficult for them to ascertain.
That would be very difficult to ascertain.
Yeah. Unless you told them, in which case then.
Right. And this is,
don't tell these people
ladies
anything,
and gentlemen, this
to.
Is where they get the information.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is where they get the information.
From you.
Most people incriminate themselves.
That's right.
The vast majority of times, in the vast majority of cases, people just told them. They snitched mm-hmm. them themselves. And this is why you have to, I'm sorry. I know you want to talk nice to the nice police officer. I get it. I want to talk nice to them, too. But they decided long ago that they wanted to array themselves against your civil rights. And so what you have to do in that circumstance is you have to be as terse as possible, as succinct as possible, say as few words to them as possible, be polite, smile, and get out of there.
Finally, they say here, if any of your devices is seized, you are entitled to a property receipt. You do want to have evidence that they took it, so
right,
you get that. And then finally, they say also that if you do provide passwords or identifiers, you certainly can change them after the fact. Right? You don't want to leave them with that password. But also, you have the ability to negotiate. You can say, I'm not going to give you the password, but I am willing to enter it for you. Meaning that you knew this was going to happen, but you don't want them to have what your password is. And they'll probably let you do that, because they do want to get into your device.
Oh, yes, they do.
So you don't have to give it to them per se. We're coming up here. Hour two or three is next. It's Free Talk Live.
Mounds and mounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs. Marquette Mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Dixie and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DinoVite.com.
I just tried this wonderful Catalicious Dinovite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dinovite for cats was coming out, because I've seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cat to Dinovite, I took the advice from Dinovite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl, just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DinoVite.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.